Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, Great is Thy Faithfulness. This series is in celebration of our 25th anniversary and is taking time to reflect on the fullness of God's faithfulness, hear testimonies, and what it means when we say it is our vision to love God, love people, and change the world. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy.
Well, good morning, everybody here in the house, as well as those of you online. We're glad you're here. We're just excited to be able to gather as a community and worship and grow closer to God and to one another. If you're a guest here today, we are glad you're here. We hope you'll come back. We hope you'll stay after the service today and connect with us in the cafe, have some refreshments, because we would love to get to know you. Well, as you have heard, we're celebrating our 25th anniversary this month, and it's not just about the past. It's also about the future. But maybe when you came in today, you saw a lot of photographs in the hallway. There's our current ones, but there's also vintage ones. You saw some current and vintage video there. And, you know, as I was looking at those things, I noticed how clothing styles have changed, how hairstyles have changed, how some of us have a little less hair than we did. You know, I've always been amazed. You know, my hair is getting grayer, but my wife's hair never changes. I don't know how that happens. So we are celebrating 25 years, but we're looking forward to the next 25 years. And from the day that Valley Brook started, it was a place where we wanted to help people know and love God, know and love each other, and change the world. And I know that loving God and loving people sounds doable, but changing the world, wow, that's a big order. So what do we mean by that? Well, truly, we mean changing the world one person's life at a time. And in these 25 years, we've seen God do some amazing things. For instance, to our knowledge, almost 800 people have made commitments to follow Jesus in those 25 years. I'm sure we have missed some along the way, but that's a praise God, right? And some of those people have taken next steps. Almost 400 people have been baptized, and we do baptisms all the time, so we want to encourage you. We do them now here in the brook in the warm months, here in the building with a horse trough. It's sort of appropriate since this used to be an equestrian center when we do those inside. But over the years, we've done them in Salmon Brook Park. We did them one time in a kiddie pool out in front of the high school where we used to meet. We did them at our old property. We've done them in the YMCA and even at another church. So we've seen people take those next steps. Let me share with you some other next steps. We've seen life change happen when we have come alongside individuals who felt called to do a short-term mission trip. So we've sent out at least 31 people on short-term missions, and those are individuals. On top of that, we have sent 33 teams on short-term mission trips. And we'll be sending another one next January. If you want to find out more, next year, not January, if you want to find out more about it, go to our website, and we would love for you to prayerfully consider going to Guatemala with us. We have supported and facilitated life change near and far in multiple ways. We've helped start 12 new churches and 7 new ministries. And we've supported almost 60 different ministries and missionaries throughout the world, giving away almost $2 million to date to spread the gospel. But there are other stories of people making life-changing decisions and taking next steps in their faith. There are stories of people who took the next step of starting to read the Bible for the first time or starting to pray with others regularly. There are stories of people who took the next step to get involved in community, our small groups that we call life groups. There are stories of people who have started to serve, recognizing that one of the ways we honor God is by rolling up our sleeves and serving here or wherever we are called to do that. There are stories of people who have started to give part of their income to God, as Scripture tells us that we're supposed to do. There are stories of people who have experienced the life change of overcoming addictions with God's help here. There are stories of the life-changing power of God to restore broken relationships, broken marriages. And honestly, there's really no way to know the hundreds and hundreds of decisions that people have made to take next steps here in their relationship with God. There are countless stories of how God has used Valley Brook to change the world, and it's happened one life at a time. And as we look forward into the future, we know that our God, who has been so faithful, will continue to be faithful, and there will be hundreds and hundreds of more stories of God changing people's lives one person at a time. You know, when we take a next step in faith, it changes our world because we're going deeper in our relationship with God. We're trusting God on a level with which we may never have trusted God before. Personally, I get excited when I see people take next steps because to me, it's the evidence of what God is doing in a person's life. I love seeing people take the next step of getting baptized. I love seeing people take the next step of getting into a community by joining a small group, or seeing them invest their time and their talents and their treasure in the church by giving and serving. And I've had the privilege of seeing so many of you take next steps, and I'm humbled by that. And over these 25 years, as I mentioned earlier, we've seen people volunteer in the ministry, whether it was part-time or full-time, and we're just excited. One of those people, some of you have probably heard her name before. Her name is Jalen Perry. She is a missionary in Guatemala. That's where our missionaries have been going for the last 2 years, where we're going to go next year. And Jalen is just a remarkable story of what God has done in a person's life. And so I contacted Jalen over the past couple weeks and said, "Hey, Jalen, would you mind telling your story to us?" And so she has sent us a video. So I want to encourage you to turn your attention to the screen behind me.
Good morning. My name is Jalen Perry, and I am 29 years old. I am the youngest daughter of Ken and Joanne Perry, whom many of you may know. I live in Zumpango, Guatemala, where I serve as a full-time missionary and social worker with a ministry called Breaking Cycles. I had the privilege of growing up at Valley Brook. My family began attending not long after the church was planted. Valley Brook quickly became more than just a place we went on Sundays. It was a huge part of our lives. Valley Brook is where I came to faith in Jesus, where I grew in my relationship with God, and where God began shaping my future. My parents got involved in serving in the church, and naturally I joined them. For years, while Valley Brook met at Granby High School, there was a setup and takedown team that would come early and stay late. My dad was on that team, and despite being a kid, so was I. If my mom was greeting at the front door, I would be beside her doing the same. In Sunday school, I learned about Jesus, grew my knowledge of the Bible, and began to understand how it applied to my life. I was given opportunities to help in small ways with outreach activities and to serve others. Those early experiences planted seeds that would continue to grow as I followed Jesus. As a teenager, when many kids would walk away from their faith, mine became even more personal, thanks to the dedication of many youth leaders in the church who discipled me. It was during those years that I made my faith in Jesus my own. Through Bible study, retreats, and service projects, I grew in my understanding of God and the Great Commission. I was given opportunities to step into leadership, helping with children's ministry, and serving wherever was needed. Those moments gave me confidence that God could use my life to be a blessing to others. One of the formative experiences during my childhood came from hearing visiting missionaries share their testimonies at Valley Brook. I remember listening to stories of what God was doing around the world. It was incredible to hear about lives being transformed, churches planted, needs being met, and the kingdom of God expanding. These testimonies stirred something deep within me. They opened my eyes to the truth that God wasn't limited to my own community, but he was already working in every nation. Hearing how ordinary people stepped out in faith to be used by God awakened a desire in my heart to be part of his global work. After high school and during college, I began to have experiences in international missions. Valley Brook walked alongside me, even from a distance, through those years, encouraging me, praying for me, and supporting me as I served in Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Germany, Poland, Guatemala, and the Philippines. The support of the church gave me the courage to take steps of faith to explore my calling. Those experiences confirmed what I had been sensing for years, that God was calling me to missions. When I made the decision to move to Guatemala and to serve there long-term, Valley Brook continued to stand with me. The mission team and countless members of the church prayed for me, supported me financially, and reminded me that I would not be serving alone, but I had the church behind me. This has continued to be true over the past 5 years as I've been on the mission field. Valley Brook has sent 2 mission teams to serve alongside me in Guatemala, investing in the community of Zumpango. Those teams have been so encouraging to me and give me the motivation to continue the work I do each day. It has been very special to see people from Valley Brook get connected to the people and community where I serve. Another team will be coming in 2026, so if you'd like to be part of it, please join us. Valley Brook has been able to change the world by blessing families in Guatemala with homes and beds, showing the love of Jesus to children, all for the purpose of sharing the hope found in a relationship with Jesus. Looking back, I see a beautiful thread that runs through my story. God used Valley Brook to form me, to give me opportunities to grow in my giftings, and to awaken in me a calling for missions. I am deeply grateful for my upbringing in the church and for the people who poured into my life at every stage. Their love, teaching, and encouragement has shaped me into the woman of God I am today. Every step of my journey has been marked by God's grace and the faithfulness of the people at Valley Brook who are loving God, loving others, and changing the world. My story of living out my calling in Guatemala is not separate from Valley Brook's story. It's just one of the many fruits of the 25 years of the church.
I'm having a little trouble after seeing that. That's just an amazing story of God changing somebody's life. And that's what God can do in our lives. That's what he wants to do in our lives. I do want to encourage you, if you want to consider going on that mission trip, go to our website. It's on our mission page. You can find out all the details about going to Guatemala. It will change your life to go and serve in another culture and see what God is doing and letting him work through you. So I'm excited for that possibility for all of you. I want us to look this morning at how God wants to change our worlds. And by that, I mean the way he wants to change our individual lives. And then I want us to look at how God wants to use us in his mission to change the world. In fact, I would ask you to ask yourself this question. How does God want to change the world through me? How does God want to change the world through me? God wants to use us. So let me say on the outset that at Valley Brook, we have been and we always want to be a place where people can come and check out the church, check out Christianity, and find out what it's all about. You don't have to be a Christian to come here. And I should say, you don't even have to have your life all together to be a part of Valley Brook. If you think we all have our life together, spend a little time and sit down with us, okay? Because we don't. But I'll assure you that coming here, and those of you who have been here for a while and those of you who are brand new, you'll see that God is doing something. And knowing that God loves us and calls us to follow Jesus gives us an assurance and gives our life direction. God wants each of us to know that he's real and that he loves us, and he wants us to know him through our faith in his son Jesus. And when we know that, it will change our lives. So I'm going to talk about some of the ways that God wants to change our lives. Maybe he already has changed your life this way, and then ask you to continue to ask that question. How does God want to change the world through me? Let's talk about a changed life. The Bible says it this way. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. In other words, when you decide to follow Jesus, your old way of living that was separate from God, that was more like the ways of the world, is going to go away. It's not going to go away just like that, but you're going to begin to recognize that as you follow Jesus more and more, the things that you value, the things that are important, won't always match up with the world. And that's because God's way is different and better. When you decide to believe in Jesus, that he's the Son of God who died for your sins, and you ask him for your forgiveness, for his forgiveness, and you start following him, you do become a new person. As the Bible says, we belong to Christ now. Pastor Eugene Peterson says it like this. Anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. Brand new start. So think about it this way. Let's say this week at your job, you make a huge mistake, all right? That mistake that you made is going to have a ripple effect through the whole company, and your mistake is going to cost the company lots and lots of money. You know you've messed up a lot of things, and you're stressed out, and when your boss asks for a private meeting, you're afraid you're going to lose your job. You enter the boss's office and sit down, and the tension is so high you could cut it with a knife. The boss starts off by telling you what you did wrong and explains what your mistake is going to cost the company, and you get the feeling that things are going to get worse. As your boss continues to explain all the work that's going to take to overcome this mistake that you've made, you're surprised when your boss looks up at you and tells you, you're going to have to work extra hard to help the company recover. As the boss's words sink in, you realize that you're not being fired, but rather you're going to lead the change to repair the damage from the mistake you made. You've been given a fresh start. You've been forgiven by the boss and given a new opportunity. What you thought was horrible, that old life from the mistake you made, it's gone, and now you have a new life. It's just started. That's what it's like when you decide to believe in Jesus and accept his forgiveness and start following him. Our life changes, and it feels like a new life has begun. Now, let me be candid. Some of the old ways of living, some of the old ways of doing things are still going to be there, and you're going to wrestle with that, okay? You're going to wrestle with following your will or following God's will, and that's normal. Candidly, for somebody who's been following Jesus for 30 years, that still happens, okay? So Jesus, following him, is going to change your life. But let's go on. It's going to also give you a changed world view. Recording in the Gospel of Matthew is Jesus teaching about what it will be like when he returns. He's teaching about how when he returns, all the nations will be gathered and each person will be judged regarding their faithfulness and to him. And from that judgment, they will either receive a reward or a punishment. The startling thing in this teaching is that the evidence of those people who come before him is based on what they have done for others. Those who lived out their faith by serving others received eternal life. Those who didn't live out their faith by serving others received eternal punishment. When Jesus speaks to those who will be blessed with eternal life, I want you to pay attention to the dialogue between them. Jesus says to them why he is going to bless them by saying this: "For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." So did you hear that? Let me read it again. Jesus said, "When you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." When we serve other people, we're serving Jesus. Understanding that will change your view of the world and how you live in this world and how you operate in this world. And here's the paradox. When you realize that you're serving Jesus by serving others, you actually start serving other people. You're changing their world by loving on them and by caring for them. It's like a ripple effect. And when you realize when you're serving others, you're serving Jesus and you're changing people's lives, then you may have that aha moment. That's the moment you realize the purpose of your life. It's not about the things that the world says life is about. It's not about the important things that our culture says is important. It's about serving Jesus by doing his will. Our life change happens when we realize the greater purpose to our life is it's not about us. So after a changed worldview, he wants to also help us have a changed life purpose. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, we find Jesus giving his disciples what we have now called the Great Commission. This is what we read. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, and therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we all need to understand that this Great Commission applies to all followers of Jesus. It's not just for people in full-time ministry or for people with the gift of evangelism. Now, stay with me. The verb that we translate, go, carries with it more of a sense of as you are going. It's not just this idea of sending out, but it's this idea of as you're going through life, make disciples by telling people about Jesus, by showing them what it means to be a follower of Jesus, by the way you live, by the words you speak, by the things you do. As you're going through life, bring your children along to help them see what you say and what you do. Make it a priority to teach them about the things of God. Make it a priority to show them Scripture. As you are going through life, help people come to know the Jesus that you have. And we do that as we go through life by both the way that we live and by the words that we speak. When we live a God-honoring life, it captures people's attention. It gives us a reason to tell people the reason we live the way we do, because we believe in Jesus. Life isn't about making the most money or about having the most trophies or having a perfect family. Our ultimate purpose in life is to follow Jesus and to help others become his followers too. And following Jesus changes our life's purpose. You know, as we look toward the future of the next 25 years here, I'm excited about what God's going to do, because I know that more and more people are going to have their lives changed, their eternities changed, because they found Jesus here. And I'm excited about that. I want you to hear one more testimony. It's from our director of student ministries, Louis Franco. So turn your attention to the screen behind me.
Good morning, church family. My name is Louis Franco, and I am humbled to have this opportunity to share my testimony with all of you. And I'd like to start by thanking God that I was raised in a household so deeply rooted in faith. From a very young age, I was able to see the restorative and transformative power of the Holy Spirit. See, before I was born, both of my parents were bound by their addictions to life-controlling substances. By the grace of God and a big push from my grandmother, my father left New York City and entered a faith-based substance abuse recovery program in Hartford, Connecticut called the Youth Challenge. He dedicated his life to the Lord, truly became a new creation, and was able to bring my mother to the program as well. Both of my parents graduated that program in the mid-80s, and they embarked on a life of service and ministry to the church and the program. I was born while my father was in Bible college in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. He later became a reverend in the church, and I spent most of my early childhood in and around this program, filled with men and women seeking change in their lives and finding hope, love, and forgiveness from the Lord. Imagine being no more than 5 years old and hearing the testimonies of hundreds of men and women that coined the phrase, I was once broke, busted, and disgusted. I was lost, but now I'm found. And at an early age, I knew that God was real, and I marveled at all the stories of what he did for all those people. I learned to serve and treasure others, and that prayer works. My life took a drastic turn when I was 7. My parents got divorced. My father had a new home and a new family. I now lived in a single parent household with my sister, who was 7 years older than me, and 2 much younger foster siblings. My dad leaving not only changed the financial structure of our home, but it placed so many questions in my head. Like, if God is real, how come mom and dad aren't together anymore? If dad is a pastor, how could this happen? And it was at that early age that I was faced with a true crossroads. But I knew that God was real because I saw him change the lives of all those people. And I knew that it was only God that can do it. And I'm so grateful that my mother kept dragging us to church, because whether we wanted to go or not, we went. And it wasn't until her health declined that going to church became an option. And that was around the time that I was old enough to be in the youth ministry. And I was no longer being dragged to church. I was looking for ways to get there. I was taking the church van, begging friends for a ride. I was doing the best that I can to get there. And you see, my youth group wasn't a social club. It was my lifeline. It was a place where I learned about what real agape love was, and I found my identity in Christ. I had the support of God-fearing men and women who helped me navigate the ups, the downs, and everything in between. I was baptized when I was 12 and continued to participate and serve in the youth ministry. I went from being a youth to a youth leader to one of the volunteer youth leaders. And if we fast forward to today, I'm now 35 years old. I've been married to the love of my life for 14 years. We have two beautiful children, and I serve my community as a first responder. I thought I had it all figured out, to be honest, because from the outside, my life looked really good. But something was missing, and it wasn't until about 2 years ago that my family and I needed to make some really big changes, and it was most likely the most impactful change yet. That is when we found Valley Brook Community Church, and it was only after a few months that I knew that there was a reason why God had sent my family here, and it wasn't for us to be spectators. I remember bringing my daughter to Kids Alive and asking the director of the student ministry at the time if I could come and just be a fly on the wall during one of their midweek gatherings. I shared my testimony and expressed how much I care for young men and women and how valuable youth ministry is to me. I thought it would be a great way to connect with the community and to support young men and women, and it was, but God had a much bigger plan than I had ever perceived. Today, I have the privilege of serving our church as the director of the student ministry. And I am honored to serve our teens alongside our amazing group of volunteer leaders. And we are all committed to equipping your teens to know, trust, and reflect Jesus to the world. To cultivate a community where young men and women can grow closer to God together. To speak the truth in love and to find their identity, their hope, and their purpose in Christ alone. And that is how we change the world. It was a group of men and women just like ours that changed my life, that encouraged, supported, and reminded me that God is faithful. My life was changed in a small group setting just like the ones we have here on Wednesday nights. And I am confident that if he can do it for me, he can do it for each and every one of our students, as well as each and every one of you. So thank you so much for letting me serve. God bless you, church.
So you hear the story of a young man, of how his life was changed through Jesus and how people spoke into his life throughout his years. And now he's leading that same type of ministry with a whole group of volunteers just like him speaking in to our youth and our students. And I love to say this, you know, the children and students aren't the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. They're part of what we're doing today at this very moment. So God wants to bring that kind of change into our lives. He wants to work in us. He's changing the world by using us to help people to come to faith in Jesus, to grow in their faith and to be a part of his kingdom work. And he's going to continue to do that as long as we keep seeking him and asking him to work in us and through us. My guess is you probably have a story too. You've heard Jalen's today. You've heard Lewis's story today. I would love to hear yours. So take me aside sometime or send me an email or let one of our other leaders know. We would love to help you find your place in serving, help you find that fulfillment of changing the world one life at a time. So as I get ready to close this, let me just give you a couple of next steps. If you're not a follower of Jesus, I'm going to give you the opportunity to make that decision in just a moment. So hang on, and I'll come back to that. If you're new to Valley Brook, if you've been coming for the last couple of weeks or months and you'd like to find out a little bit more at about 11:15 out in our front lobby. We're going to have a newcomers gathering. It only can go for about 15 minutes. We'll talk a little bit about the ministry of Valley Brook. We'll let you ask questions so you can find out more in a small group intimate setting. Then the other thing that I would say is this, join a life group. Our life groups are important because, you know, we believe real community doesn't happen in rows like you're in right now, but it happens in circles. As we gather around, as we open up, as we share our lives, as we talk about God's word and how it applies to our life, because we don't just want to study it to get head knowledge. We want to actually study it so it will inform how we live our lives. And as we really become a community of one another. So you can go to our website. You can find out more about that. If you go to the life group table in the cafe, you'll see the books that we'll be using in this next study. There's a QR code. You can take your phone and just use that to go to our life group page, and you can find some life groups that you can sign up for there. So I want to encourage you to do that. So let me go back to that first step. If you've never told Jesus that you want to believe in him and follow him, I'm going to lead you in a prayer where you're going to ask him for forgiveness and where you're going to tell him you want to follow him. And if you do pray that prayer, please let me know so I can put some material in your hands to help you grow. In fact, just last Sunday, one of our online viewers recommitted her life to Christ, and I was able to send her that material this week. So I'm excited for her and the decision that she made. So if you want to make that decision today, I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads. I'm going to lead you in that prayer, and then I'm going to pray for all of us. So if you want to tell Jesus that you believe in him and that you want to follow him, I invite you to pray these words silently back to him. You can put them in your own words or just repeat the ones I give to you. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus is your son. And I believe that he died for my sin and that you raised him to life. And today I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as my Lord. Guide me and help me. And we pray this in Jesus' name, but I'm going to keep praying for us. Father, you want to change the world through your sons and daughters who believe in Jesus. So Lord, I pray that you would do the life change in each one of us, change our worldview, change our purpose as we follow him. And then, Lord, help us hear your call, your direction, your nudging to do what you call us to do, to be a part of your team doing your will. We pray this in your name. Amen.